Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening.
For my yoga teacher friends who are interested in working with the pregnant population, Prenatal Yoga Center offers an 85-hour Yoga Alliance certified program based on our three-pronged theory of prenatal yoga: asana, education, and community. Once a year, we hold our three-month immersion program in New York City. For those who cannot attend this training, Caprice and I are now traveling to different locations holding our training at hosting studios where we will spend 6 days working together, exploring and learning about prenatal yoga. This training consists of more than 50 hours working together. We also created a whole membership website with more than 20 videos corresponding directly to the manual you will receive. For more information, check out our website at prenatalyogacenter.com. Hope to work with you soon. Take care.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and I am your host for Yoga Birth Babies. And today we're going to look at a different point of view. So most of the time we talk about babies, talk about yoga, we talk about the mom, we talk about birth. And today we're going to look at the point of view of the dad. So we have Lance Sommerfeld here. We're going to take a moment and let me tell you a little bit about him. Lance Sommerfeld lives with his wife and two children in New York City. Lance is a co-founder of City Dads Group, a diverse community of fathers dedicated to being active in their children's lives and, by example, redefining what it means to be a dad in the 21st century. City Dads Group has chapters in 26 major metropolitan areas of the United States with over 8,000 members. He frequently contributes to the conversation about modern fatherhood, work-life balance, shifting gender roles, and brands marketing to dads. He has appeared on local and national television, including CNN, Fox News, Today, and Katie. He has been quoted by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Time Out Kids, GQ, Parenting, and The Atlantic. Hi, Lance. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
I'm very excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So I'd love to talk a little bit about what inspired you to start City Dads and the new Dad Bootcamp.
So if I rewind 8 years ago, I was heading into fatherhood, something I was terrified about, something I had no experience doing before I became a dad. I didn't have a lot of experience with little cousins or handling a newborn. And so selfishly, I was looking to surround myself with other men who were going through the same thing. And in searching online, you would think of all places like New York City, there would be lots of resources available for us, and there were none, other than a small group at the 92nd Street Y. So I decided to be proactive and got on the phone with a buddy of mine that was a teacher that I used to work with, who is also a father, and said, why don't we be a little bit more transparent about our lunches once a week? Why don't we create a meetup group? And I said, I take the initiative, set it all up online, and meetup's a pretty simple platform. It's kind of a glorified e-bite system with a few more bells and whistles. But the real goal is create this online platform with the idea of getting together face-to-face. And that's exactly what I wanted to do. And things started very slowly in New York. But after a while, we started to gain some traction. We were fortunate to hit the ground running during the economic downturn of 2008. And so media was interested in men being laid off and what they were doing with their time. So our group came up with a lot of searches, and they seemed to enjoy the fact that men were looking for ways to meet up and get together, sometimes with their children. And that's pretty much the start of where we put our stake in the ground in New York. Since then, fast forward 8 years, we've been doing this, really just to have a great resource for our kids and for ourselves. We're now in 26 major metro cities across the country with, 8,500 dads in our network. and able to create these same wonderful experiences, getting dads and their kids together across the nation. So nice that a little passion project has truly evolved.
That's great. And so talk a little bit about the New Dad Boot Camp. What's that?
A lot of people, when they think of New Dad Boot Camp, they think of a workout or a gym type of class where we're exercising. And it's really exercising our minds. A few years ago, as we were trying to change our dynamic and looking to do other things in the space to offer more for dads, we knew that the expectant father was the person who probably needed the most resources, who needed the most assistance, questions answered, anecdotes. And the co-founder and I are both teachers by trade, so we started to create this framework of a curriculum that we'd want. And lo and behold, was doing some searches online, found that New Dad Boot Camp was a national program that was around for 18 years at the time and did exactly what we want to do, have this research-based curriculum for expecting fathers and really be able to talk with them honestly about the things that they're going to be thrust into, some of the roadblocks of being a new dad, and most importantly, I think having that kind of unique aspect where it's facilitated and taught by someone like me. I am heavily flawed as a father, but I'm happy to share my mistakes and what I've learned from them. So having just kind of an everyday average dad leading the discussion. And then our secret weapon, having two or three former expecting dads who now have had their children, and these guys are on the front lines, and they come in with their small babies, which really hits a lot of different sweet spots, I should say, for, mm-hmm. for this class. So for one, these guys who are expecting, these other men were in their same seats 3-6 months before. So they come to the table with a lot of the same answers for the questions of the guys that are just about to have their children. And two, these guys with their babies know that a lot of the men in the room are worried about handling a newborn, don't have a lot of practice. And so we're able to roll up our sleeves and give these guys the opportunity to do their first diaper change, bottle feed, or even have the opportunity to just soothe or hold someone else's baby. And it's really a touching experience.
That's wonderful. I know that in prenatal, we have a postnatal right after. And so the new moms show up with their fresh new baby, and many of the prenatal moms are seeing these, you know, 6-, 7-, 8-week-old babies. And there's always a moment of shock. So I'm guessing it's something similar, like, wow, this is getting real. So that's great. I love that you bring the newborns in. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's a much different experience than having the dolls, right? That yeah. don't move, don't say anything,
don't
try to turn over, don't cry. So, you know, if anything, I think the guys in the room see these new dads spending, it's a 3-hour workshop. So to see these guys navigating nap time, feeding, the soothing, and walk out of the class at the end and say, well, this guy just pretty much rocked it for 3 hours. So if he can do it, you know, so can I. And so it's a nice confidence booster on the way out.
Yeah. And 3 hours, it's a good amount of time. It's not like they come in for 15 minutes and, you know, baby's asleep or baby's calm. 3 hours, they're going to see quite a cycle of needing to be changed, needing to be fed, nap. They're really going to see a pretty good glance into the first few months, which kind of segues me to, can you talk a little bit about what you think a dad should expect in the first few months of a baby's life?
They can expect some of the cliches. They're going to be tired and exhausted.
Does that change?
No, I mean, I think you become more tolerable of the new lifestyle. I think one of the biggest changes for me, or I should say the list, was one, you know, I had no real experience handling a newborn. And I found that the more practice that you have, just like any new job, the better you get. Two, that sense of isolation. You know, for a lot of new men, this is a complete life-altering experience, and they are looking for ways to kind of crowdsource or vent their frustrations, maybe share some best practices. So joining a network, whether it's City Dads group, or taking a class with other new parents, whether it's at your local parenting center or the yoga center, just having that real connection with other parents that are going through some of the same things is very helpful and very cathartic. And those moments when I've had it, as much as I am in love with my children, they, sometimes you can't solve while the baby's always crying, and it really gets under your skin, because for me, I like to fix the problem, and I have this mental checklist. Okay, are they too tired? No, they just took a nap. You know, are they hungry? No, I just fed them. Are they wet? No, I just changed them. So when you go through that whole checklist and you still need to fix the problem, sometimes we get to those moments where we've had it. So developing this toolkit, if you will, of ways to calm myself down in those heated moments was also very helpful, because your partner is not always going to be around to assist or to be able to pass off the little one. So those were some of the real frustrations or challenges for me. And I think a lot of new parents are faced with some of those same ones.
And what are some of the tools? Because that's interesting. The same language I use with my students about having, go to the toolbox of coping for pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. What are some of the tools that you used yourself or you help inspire other dads to use? In those heated moments.
We talk a lot about just how safe the baby is if you put them in a pack and play, a little seat, or even back in their crib, that if they're going to cry for 10 or 20 minutes, there's going to be no harm for them. Mm-hmm. So better you to be able to walk away and put on some noise-canceling headphones or some soothing music. That ability to just know yourself and know when you've hit your limit to put the baby down, or even just on a soft carpet. Most of the time, especially that young, they're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. But putting them down on the ground and walking away. And most importantly, obviously, if your partner's there, understanding that you can't always fix the problem. Sometimes they just need to sit in another set of hands. Handing them off to your mother-in-law or to your wife is fine. It's not a failure, especially at the young age. They're not very rational people. So, a lot of these are just discussions about teamwork, communication between the two partners. I think these same conversations are the ones that new moms are having. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty much the most important part, is this is a parental or a parent conversation, not just a conversation about dads or a conversation about motherhood.
So do you encourage how would you encourage the dad to talk to the mom if the dad's feeling insecure in his ability to soothe the baby, or how the dad could feel if he's feeling overwhelmed by the whole experience? How do you encourage that conversation?
I think first and foremost, we just start from the get-go. It's amazing to me that we'll have a room of 10 or 15 expectant dads in the room. 5 years ago when we started offering this class, most of the dads, when you say, how'd you find out about the class? Oh, my wife just signed me up, told me that, Sunday morning, 10 a.m., I need to be here. Now most dads recognize that their wives or a lot of the dads, their husbands that are going to be the primary caregiver, are signing up for all these classes. And so they want to be integrated too. Then we have a conversation about parental leave or vacation time, or, recognizing that or encouraging these guys to take off as much time as possible from the get-go, creating that foundation, that bonding experience. And we talk really about what the research states. The research states that in the United States, anywhere, mothers take anywhere from 2.5 to 3 months off when they have a new baby. And the average new dad is taking off roughly a week. Mm-hmm. And so in any new job, whether it's in accounting or a law, you know, we talk to these guys and say, well, if you had 1 week of training and someone else had 3 months of training, regardless of what the job is, who's going to be the more competent partner from the get-go? Because I think a lot of these dads walk in with concerns about, you know, well, new mom has carried the baby for 9 months, and so she's already developed this bond, or she already has this innate sense of parenting skills. And that's why I try to point out to these guys, well, you know, that's true. You know, keeping the baby for 9 months, definitely you develop this bond. But a lot of times, you know, men feel inadequate or overwhelmed because we only get that 1 week of foundation of experience and competency, where a new mom is getting several months. Mm-hmm. And so we really encourage these guys to find ways to take as much vacation or parental leave as policy or parental leave as possible early. And even if they can't, pushing into their family in a lot of different ways, whether, you know, Saturday morning, you own Saturday morning, send mom out to get her nails done or brunch with the girls, and have that alone, unsupervised time where we can make mistakes. We're not being judged, and we're really having this time to fall in love with our children, to bond with them, and creating this foundation that we're going to have forever.
I think you just said some really important things, because having done some, I attended a new mom support group when my son was 10 weeks. And one of the things that came up was oftentimes the moms would get a little antsy or critical of the dad and how they did stuff. Because as you said, the mom has all this time with the newborn where the dad's going back to, or, you know, the partner's going back to work. And so if the mom doesn't see the dad handling the baby how she would, there tends to be some criticism, and I'm sure that affects the dad's confidence. So I love what you're saying about send the mom off, let her do her thing so the dad can develop these skills, because I'm sure how do you feel? The dads often feel criticized, is how I'm interpreting it, because the moms often feel like they are criticizing the dad.
So funny you should, you know, hone in on this particular topic. We definitely make sure we spend ample time during our conversation. And a lot of it really comes from the guys that are on the front line, our veteran dads that are in there with their small babies that are 3 and 6 months old. These mm-hmm. guys have the best stories. But we do talk about the real challenge of gatekeeping, the gatekeeping phenomenon, you know, where a new mom generally feels that after carrying the baby for 9 months and being with the baby at home, that their way is pretty much the only way to properly care for the newborn. And they push others away, and it usually includes dad. And so, you know, we use this story where, you know, you're Saturday morning, your daughter has a bowel movement, and she says, hey, honey, it would be great if you can help out with this diaper change. And most men are eager and say, you know, no problem. But then at some point during that diaper change, new mom is watching, observing, and sometimes even seething, because they recognize that you're using too many wipes or the diaper's being put on in a different way than mom is. And, you know, we use this prime example, but we recognize that it could be anywhere from bath time or the feeding process. But recognizing on how important it is for our children to be subject to different parenting styles, and how much of the research that's out there that just says how important it is for them to be exposed to that, you know, whether it's baby wearing facing in or with a dad baby wearing a little later and the baby's facing out. Just again, recognizing that if it's not really going to harm the baby, it's okay to be doing things differently and giving them this different perspective.
Yeah, and the bigger picture is that I think the mom can get resentful that she feels like, oh, I always have to do it. And so having a conversation with the two parents of, you may do it this way, I may do it this way, but just as said, the baby's healthy, fine. And then if the mom can see that, that might give her a little space to relax a little bit and also to care for herself. Because if she feels like she's always giving and always correcting, it's rather exhausting. So I like that you encourage the dads, you know, jump in. So another question, how would you support a dad that's feeling a little overwhelmed about his new family responsibilities? And I know financial responsibilities can really weigh on the dad's shoulders.
I would say that this is more of a city dads group question. We generally encourage the guy to come out to meetups, and really have the opportunity to connect with some other dads and give some perspective on what they're going through. I mean, a lot of us are going through the same things. We just don't always talk about it publicly. But if you have someone who's got something specific, there could be three or four dads standing on the corner of the playground, and we're talking about how, you know, expensive the preschool process is in the city, and, you know, how do we get through it, and how do we make sure that our children are getting a quality education, and how do we pay for it? Or one parent going back to work, you know, in that transition for the family, how do we make it work when one's been off for a couple of years? Potty training, installing car seats and child passenger safety. I mean, you name it. We have a lot of the same challenges and concerns that new moms do. And way back when, someone used to always say, well, you know, men just don't like to ask for directions. But generally, I see a lot of these new dads, once you get them talking, they're chomping at the bit to really just talk about their roles as fathers and certainly what their challenges are.
What do you think their biggest challenges are? What are you hearing the most in your groups?
Oh, I don't know if there's anything specific or something that's above average. Again, I think for the new dads, I think it's a lack of resources. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lack of parental leave to be the dad that they want. So a lot of these conversations really surround the topic of, you know, what kind of role models are in the workplace. Work-life balance is probably the biggest. So if I had to say that, what's the one specific thing that comes up the most on our playground or water cooler conversation? Mm-hmm. I think it's that dads want to be equally successful at both being a father and in their careers. And how do they manage both? It's incredibly hard. I obviously don't always have the best answers, but I enjoy talking about this conversation. And
Would you say to a dad that says, I really want to be involved? What advice could you give to a listener that has to work but still wants to be involved? I know my husband does struggle with that. We both do. We're both working parents, and we both struggle with giving our kids the energy and attention because we're often exhausted, and having to give time to work. I mean, I remember growing up, and it was mainly, I saw my dad's basically a little bit in the evenings and on the weekends. He just, you know, he was a really, he worked a lot. So what advice would you give to a dad that's looking for that balance?
I'd say first and foremost, find different ways to push into your family. So it could be doing a Tuesday morning swim class at 8:30 to 9:15 in the morning. And that day you go in a little later to work and you stay a little later, but you've got that bonding experience with your little one. Two, I would say really focusing on the quality of the time that you do have, not necessarily the quantity. There are plenty of people that might spend a whole day with their child and they're sitting on the park bench on their devices, and not truly bonding. So, I know my son would very much appreciate 1 hour of total focus of my time rather than 3 hours where I'm kind of half there or I'm on a conference call. And I'm just present, but I'm not truly tuned into what he's doing. So whether it's, you know, making sure that once or twice a week, you know, you own dinner and you're home a little earlier from work and you're putting that phone in the cabinet until the kids are to bed, and making sure that you're, you know, either preparing something with the kids, baking projects, or even making pancakes is something so simple that I do, and it just becomes like a weekend thing, and we're all involved, and it gets a little messy, but that's kind of part of the fun. Mm-hmm. So finding, again, these different ways where you're spending this quality time with your kids, even if it's only a few times a week.
That's great. So I want to also ask a little bit about some of the biggest changes you see some of the dads facing towards the end of pregnancy. So they're watching their partner, you know, continue to grow this baby. What do you think what's kind of in the mind of the dad as pregnancy ends and new family begins?
I also think it's very encouraging that I'm hearing from a lot of the men that are expecting babies, that they're attending a lot of these prenatal appointments.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that, again, connecting with their partners before they even have the baby is just another way that they're already kind of creating this bond from the get-go. And I think a lot of it really just surrounds communication. Preparing, having a plan for the baby, is another thing that we discuss a lot, that it's imperative to be structured and well organized and have a plan. But on the flip side, recognizing that almost every plan you have never goes according to the way you have it. And that's why, again, it's great to have guys who have planned natural childbirths and say, you know, like at the 11th hour, even though it was against everything that they wanted, you know, it had to go to a C-section, but they had to do what was best for mom and the baby. And again, just having these very real conversations of people that have planned out everything and checked every single box, but it still just doesn't go in a quarter plan. And recognizing that all these small things that don't really go the way we had anticipated is fine, but it really is just noise behind making sure you're there, not panicking, being a sounding board for your partner, coaching them through the process, being this protector in everything. And so, you know, like for my wife who had a, you know, her water broke early, you know, it's like just that typical case scenario. The car seat's still in the box. The crib is still on a ship from China. The new room that was supposed to be built for the baby is, you know, being created this week, but it's still not there. And 6 weeks early, you know, this is the kind of stuff that you're dealing with. But at the end of the day, I wanted to get my wife safely to the hospital. So what if the bag wasn't packed? You know, most of us, especially in these major metro cities, we're pretty close to our homes when we're in the hospital. So to be able to just send a family member and walk them through over the phone what drawer everything's in and what we need, and having them shuttle that over the hospital, you can get through all of that. To be able to stand there and hold my wife's hand and keep her calm, that's the heart of everything I needed to do. To be present, to welcome, you know, 2 years ago, to welcome my daughter into the world and be able to hold her in my arms and fall in love with her like that, like that's the stuff that's important. Everything else, you know, where it now it becomes a story of hilarity and how I didn't plan so well, and I make fun of myself. Again, it's just nice that at the heart of everything, it's about a partnership and teamwork for my wife and I. And that was what I needed to be present for.
That sounds like it was quite a wild ride with your first being 6 weeks early. Wow, that's unexpected, I'm sure. So as a doula, I often felt that it was the dad that was actually the happiest to see me when I walked in the door, because it seems like it's a lot of pressure for the dad to be expected to completely support the mom. You know, you may not have been through birth in the past. So I guess it's more, what is the dad's perspective during the birth experience? And do you feel any pressure to have all the answers?
I think the dad, in one sense, feels this new responsibility because you have a new member of the family. So from a financial standpoint, you feel this sense of economic responsibility that you might be the provider for the family. And so a lot of new dads, actually, after they have their child, they work. The research says that they are in the office 3 more hours per week than they were before having the child.
Oh, interesting.
And I think a lot of that is the strains and sense of responsibility that now you're the wage earner. And if the man's the wage earner, then they have to bring everything to the table each week. And if they're not earning that paycheck, then, you know, it really hurts the dynamic of the family. And I think that's also changing because I think there's so many more women now that are in families where, you know, you have dual income. families, which is even better. You know, both mom and dad go back to work after the baby, whether it's 1 month or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they're earning this kind of dual salary, which is nice. But what I hear from the guys who are solely responsible as the wage earner, they're trying to earn the salary, but they're also trying to figure out how to be a competent dad. And this pressure, I think, is really maybe not to be the best dad. I think one thing we haven't talked about is that the bar or the expectations for dads is so woefully low in our country. And, you know, I think we should have higher expectations for men and for dads when we become fathers, because the only way that we're going to be on equal footing is to elevate our expectations. So going back to the pressure, I think it's just, it's a few things. I think it's one, we want to be a good partner to our wives. Again, we haven't talked about making sure that we're also good husbands,
mm-hmm.
and working hard at that relationship, or as hard as we are to being a new dad.
Can you expand on what you on some advice you'd have to dads? Because I do think what tends to happen is the baby becomes the focal point, and the relationship, the husband-wife or partner relationship, can deteriorate a little bit. So how would you encourage the father to still be a great husband?
I think as soon as possible, you have to take back some of the things away from the baby that made you and your partner get into the mess in the first place. So not every conversation should always be around the baby. Asking for help, whether it's mom, whether it's your mom, your mother-in-law, a family member, or even hiring a babysitter, even though it's very expensive in our metro cities. But having that alone time, that time to be intimate, that really you used to have together. If brunch was your thing, then, you know, not always living by the baby's schedule and still making sure that you're fitting the baby into your lifestyle. You're not pigeonholed to every single nap being at home where you're stuck at home. The vacations that you take, it's okay to take a night for just the two of you, and not always have the child along with you. So even if it's a staycation in a hotel, or taking a trip by yourselves without the baby, that was really important for my wife and I from the get-go, is making sure that we got my in-laws very well trained with the baby, where we felt they were just as competent as we were, that we could escape and take, you know, our anniversary trip to Hawaii and not have to bring the kids along. So, you know, that one other piece too is, someone mentioned this recently to me, and I kind of got a laugh out of it, but it's true, that even though we complain about paying $15 or $20 or $25 an hour for a childcare or a babysitter to get out and about, that's really expensive, mm-hmm. and that really puts a strain on a lot of people's income. But what's more expensive is divorce. And so, you know, like, you need those 4 hours or 3 hours once a week, every other week, to go out and just take a walk, see friends, have a long dinner. You know, again, doing the things that you used to do together as a couple. But now, even that you have a baby and you're a larger family, still finding that time to be intimate, to surround your relationship, to have the same kind of conversations, because the spontaneity really, it decreases significantly when you have the baby.
Absolutely. So thinking about how the new dad can best support the mom right after birth, because I know it's a pretty hormonal time, and the mom, depending on her birth, could feel pretty depleted. What suggestions can you have for the dad to support the mom?
Take some time off. You know, the luxury of taking a week or 2 weeks or a month off from the get-go and creating this high-performance tag team of two, struggling together, failing miserably together, but learning together is the number one thing. You really need to create this very strong foundation from the get-go, so you can create that partnership that you hope you're going to have for years to come.
But I think a lot of that we were saying, the failure, it can create huge laughs. I remember my son, I don't remember exactly what he did, but my husband and I were home. He must have been like a week or two, and he did something that we just laughed hysterically about. And again, I can't remember what he did, but we still just go back to that time. Like, do you remember when we just couldn't stop laughing and you practically fell on the floor laughing so hard? Like, I think it's those bumps in the road that can actually bring everyone back to some lightness about the experience, about like, wow, we didn't sleep at all that night, or remember that time when this happened, the baby's diaper exploded. So I think not taking it so seriously, but coming together as a couple to learn to laugh at, you know, new baby and life with new baby is really important too.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, surrounding that theme of just not taking it all too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just such an important aspect to be able to, you know, the one who can laugh at himself will never cease to be amused. So, you know, finding those moments where you just look at each other and, like you said, burst out laughing, or just like, you know,
and
can
I
you
think
believe
it,
that
yeah, and
we're
I think
in the restaurant
helps.
And we had a blowout. It definitely helps. And, you know, just creating not only that bond with the baby, but the bond with your partner.
Absolutely. So all of this stuff is so great, and I'm hoping it's inspiring parents out there, especially dads listening. Where can people find out more about you and your new dad boot camp and how to join groups like yours?
The easiest way to find out about our platform is just citydadsgroup.com. They can find our group dad blog. So we've got at least a dozen dads writing about all angles of fatherhood, from being an at-home father to a dad of color, to a gay dad, to a dad who's trying to raise teen daughters. So just having this eclectic mix of men writing about their experiences firsthand and being able to kind of amplify and share it through our platform. We've got a podcast, we've got the boot camps, or just to find a group in your city. It's easiest, just citydadsgroup.com.
Perfect. I'll make sure it's on our show notes. And what will you be doing at this year's New York Family Baby Show? I'll be there, so I'm curious to hear what you're doing there.
Yeah, you know, what's nice is as we grow and evolve, we're able to grow and evolve with our partners and our local community. The New York Family Baby Show, I remember the first one that we collaborated with them on. It was this tiny little show in an event space on the Upper West Side, and how now they've moved to Pier 94 and host thousands and thousands of parents.
Were you at the one that was on the corner of 72nd and Broadway in kind of an unfinished space?
Is that your first?
That's, I was there too. I remember that.
Yes.
I think now it's apartments in Trader Joe's.
So, you know, just to see them evolve and us be able to kind of grow with them.
Mm-hmm.
For us, you know, it's very important to make sure that both mom and dad feel supported from the very beginning. And so we're able to work with them on creating this ultimate dad's lounge space, a welcoming space inside the New York Baby Show that has changing tables, comfortable seating, lots of visual aids and pictures of dads just spending time with their kids. And we staff it with loads of members from our group that are there really to just answer questions, provide some advice, unbiased advice on people asking questions about gear or new books for dad. And we're incredibly welcoming to moms too. So my favorite thing is always to see mom and dad both kind of hovering over a changing table and, you know, almost doing high fives as they kind of take care of business. So we're able to offer this wonderful kind of dad's lounge experience that's at the heart of not just their New York Baby Show now, but we've grown with them as they've gone national.
Mm-hmm.
And our Chicago dads group will be with them hosting a dad's lounge at the Chicago Baby Show. Our LA dads group did the same at their recent LA Baby Show. And we'll also be collaborating with them at the Anaheim Consumer Show.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. You're so involved with them. So those listening, just letting you know, the New York Family Baby Show, I'll make sure there's a link to it. But this year, it is May 20th and 21st. I'll personally be speaking on a panel on the 21st. I hope to see some of our listeners there. But I'll make sure that those that are interested can have the information to show up. Because it sounds like there'll be a ton, and it's grown this year. It's in a new space. So even more for people to see. So Lance, just any final piece of advice for dads out there, whether they just had their baby or they're in their final stages of pregnancy with their partner? Any last little bit?
My final bit would just be, you know, you're not alone. So a lot of times we think we live in this vacuum and we're expecting this baby and there's all these different things that are going through our mind. You know, how am I going to balance work and how am I going to pay for everything and how am I going to be a supportive husband and, you know, how am I going to do it all done? And, you know, a lot of it, it's great to have resources and websites and podcasts and books, but a lot of it really just comes from your gut instinct and believing in yourself and believing in your significant other as a team. So that's what I'll leave that last note.
Well, that's perfect advice. Thank you so much for your time and your energy and all the great work you do. And I'll make sure that everything is on our show notes so that those listening, if they're thinking, wow, I really need my partner involved or I really want to jump in, they can do so. So I hope you have a wonderful afternoon. I'll see you at the New York Family Baby Show.
Thanks, Deb. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.